Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here today with the panel. Before I start, I do want to acknowledge and thank the colleagues that are listed here that I've worked with over the years and really have brought me here today to be able to present to all of you. As the title suggests, what I'm going to talk about is malaria in pregnancy programming in Africa in areas where malaria is endemic. So I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so just to outline in this slide, what I plan to discuss is Chipraigo's approach to address malaria in pregnancy. Then I will discuss how the approach was applied in 5 countries, including the results. And finally, I will look at some of the implications and innovative approaches for scale-up of malaria and pregnancy programs. So why is malaria in pregnancy so important, and why do we need to pay attention to malaria in pregnancy? Well, let me just start with the fact that 90% of the burden of malaria is in Africa. And every year, 10,000 pregnant women will die as a result of malaria. Now, where malaria is endemic, people will develop a certain level of immunity to the disease as they age. However, with a pregnant woman, her immunity is going to decrease. So in areas where malaria is endemic, what this results in for pregnant women is 400,000 cases of severe anemia, which has a trickle-down effect to the newborn, accounting for approximately 35% of preventable low birth weight and 75,000 to 200,000 infant deaths annually. So when we're talking about malaria and pregnancy, we're really talking about both a maternal and a newborn health issue. The World Health Organization's strategy to control malaria in pregnancy in stable transmission areas or in endemic areas uses a 3-pronged approach, both prevention and case management. On the prevention side, it begins with intermittent preventive treatment. IPT is a full treatment dose of an antimalarial drug given to a pregnant woman in the second and third trimester of her pregnancy, 1 month apart, during routine antenatal care visits. We also want that pregnant woman to sleep under an ITN both before, during, and after her pregnancy with her newborn. And for pregnant women who are actually showing signs and symptoms of malaria, of course, we want her to get prompt and effective treatment. Since the majority of pregnant women in stable transmission areas attend antenatal care at least once and often twice, the antenatal care platform provides a really important opportunity to address comprehensive health issues with that pregnant woman, including the delivery of IPT and ITNs. And what we want to see is at least 80% of pregnant women receiving IPT at least twice during pregnancy, as well as sleeping under an ITM. This diagram here illustrates Chipraigo's approach for addressing malaria in pregnancy. On the left side, what you see are the inputs, and these are called the key elements. And then moving to the outputs that are realized at both the community and facility level in the middle, to the outcomes for improved maternal and newborn health. The key elements, which include policy formulation, including fostering the link between reproductive health programs and malaria control, recognizing at the country level you need that collaboration with malaria control providing technical oversight and reproductive health programs supporting the actual program implementation. The key elements also include training and supervision, system strengthening, including quality improvement, and monitoring and evaluation. The inner circle shows the dynamic relationship that exists between communities and facilities, and all of this leading to the 3 prongs on the right: IPT uptake, use of ITNs, and effective treatment. Japonico recently analyzed programming efforts in the five countries listed here. In the interest of time, I'm going to focus more on Burkina Faso and Kenya. But let me take this moment to just mention that for Burkina Faso, Madagascar, and Uganda, the program was a pilot intervention or a targeted intervention testing the feasibility of a new concept within MIP programming. Whereas in Tanzania and Kenya, the program was really focused on a national scale. Oops. So beginning with Burkina Faso, between 2001 and 2004, Japonico collaborated with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Ministry of Health in Burkina Faso to implement one of the first pilot studies in West Africa testing the feasibility of implementing antenatal care with a malaria and pregnancy platform. Japonico's role was to support the implementation efforts, and CDC conducted the evaluation. As you can see from the slide, all six key elements were applied. And in particular, I want to highlight the quality improvement approach, which brought together stakeholders from the community and the facility level to really take ownership of the health program. All of these efforts combined fostered the relationship between reproductive health and malaria control at the country level and between the communities and facilities and supported the outcomes achieved during the pilot. So following the implementation phase, CDC conducted a post-evaluation in the same 8 sites targeted in the baseline. A total of 2,014 women were enrolled. The pilot study resulted in notable improvements in both uptake of IPT as well as maternal and newborn health outcomes. All longitudinal changes shown here are statistically significant, with the exception of low birth weight. So I won't go through them all, but I will highlight a few. Women receiving 2 doses of IPT went from 0 to 75%, so nearly reaching the goal of 80%. Women receiving 1 dose of IPT, which is actually not included in the slide, was over 90%. Women owning an ITN increased from 22% to 37%, and peripheral parasitemia decreased from 22 to 16%. As a result of this study and similar studies that were conducted in Mali and Benin, Burkina Faso actually changed their MIP policy to support the WHO 3-pronged approach. Okay, now moving on to Kenya. Beginning in 2001, Japonico collaborated with the Ministry of Health in Kenya to introduce focused antenatal care services in 23 districts nationwide. The key elements that were applied included advocacy efforts, training and supervision, and community mobilization. So here you might be saying, well, why didn't the program effort apply all 6 key elements, as was the case in Burkina Faso? Well, in Kenya, the team recognized, with the Ministry of Health leading the way, recognized that they needed to reach a large number of providers in a very rapid amount of time, short amount of time, with minimal resources. So with this in mind, the program supported a cascade training approach that led to the training of providers en masse throughout the country. A key component of this intervention was follow-up support supervision to the providers to reinforce the knowledge that they gained in training. So as was the case in Burkina Faso, CDC again conducted both a pre- and post-evaluation in 2002 and 2004, respectively, to look at IPT coverage among pregnant women. The pre-post evaluation was conducted in 2 communities in western Kenya. The intervention site was Asembo, and the control site was Gem, and there were 724 women enrolled. So if you look at the graph, the baseline is the dark blue, and the follow-up is in light blue. And you see the Asembo, the intervention site, is on the left side, and GEM is on the right side. To highlight in Asembo, IPT1, so women receiving one dose of IPT increased significantly from 19% to 61%. IPT2 increased from 7% to 37%. Now the smaller uptake, or the fewer number of women receiving only two doses of IPT here, could be because the majority of pregnant women here were attending antenatal care late in their pregnancy. So to highlight in Tanzania, in 2006, Japaiga's malaria program expanded rapidly in Tanzania with the Ministry of Health to focus on nationwide coverage. Key elements were similar to the other countries, but in addition included pre-service education. The data presented here is descriptive data. It's based on programming reports and national surveys. But as the results show, IPT2, women receiving at least two doses of IPT, increased from 22% to 41%. This was between 2006 and 2007. ITN access at an antenatal care clinic increased from 74% to 92%. I'm now moving to Madagascar. Japaiga has been supporting efforts to address malaria and pregnancy in Madagascar since 2004. The program conducted a targeted pilot intervention that reviewed the effect of a quality improvement approach in five health facilities. Key elements were similar to other countries presented. Again, the data presented is based on program reports and is descriptive. As demonstrated in this bar chart, second dose IPT coverage increased from 0 to 65% between 2003 and 2006 in the five clinic sites where the health providers had been trained and the quality improvement process was initiated. You will also notice that IPT1 results increased from 0 to 80% in the five sites and surpassed the national coverage, which is the very last bar on the right-hand side of the graph. This difference here is attributed to the fact that the training of providers was scaled up nationwide. However, the support supervision and quality improvement approach was targeted only in the five sites. Okay, and finally, Uganda, where 50% of maternal and child health services are provided by the faith-based sector. Japaiga collaborated with the Ministry of Health in Uganda and the faith-based sector to introduce ANC services in five health clinics that were faith-based managed. The data here, as in the last few slides, is descriptive, and what we saw was an increase from 43% to 94% in women receiving one dose of IPT. Women receiving two doses of IPT increased from 27% to 71%, and women receiving an ITN at the antenatal care clinic went from 0 to 27%. So in summary, what we saw in each of these countries was encouraging. Addressing the health system comprehensively from the community to the facility led to improved outcomes for malaria and pregnancy, including uptake of IPT and ITNs for the prevention of malaria and pregnancy, as well as maternal and newborn health outcomes, as we saw in Burkina Faso. So how do we now move from implementing malaria and pregnancy with approaches we know that are working towards sustainable scale-up? At this point, I want to point out that while countries throughout sub-Saharan Africa are moving forward with their malaria and pregnancy programs and doing well as the results presented suggest. Countries throughout Africa are still far from achieving national targets for pregnant women for uptake of IPT and use of ITNs. We can't afford to miss any opportunities anymore. This includes reaching out to pregnant women not only at the health center through providers, but also in their communities through community-directed interventions. To achieve national coverage, programs should consider innovative approaches that can be applied to malaria and pregnancy programs to strengthen results further. With this in mind, let me highlight three complementary innovative approaches for consideration as we move towards scale-up. Community-based distribution of IPT and ITNs that can be delivered through community health champions should be considered in areas and in countries that have not been successful yet in achieving national targets. Community health champions would also be promoting the maternal and newborn health platform through antenatal care services. At the same time, social mobilization, including advocacy, behavior change, and communication, and social marketing, can increase community ownership and responsibility for malaria and pregnancy outcomes. As a component of a comprehensive malaria and pregnancy strategy, social mobilization can lead to greater coverage among pregnant women. And finally, not to be forgotten, monitoring as an integral component of MIP programs that affords program managers, providers, and community members the information they need to identify and address challenges in implementation, so that they can develop appropriate plans for future implementation. Thank you.